Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's hear from David Cauley. Texans, no practice today. Players, quote, under the weather. No COVID positives, though. Mm-hmm. But players are under the weather. Here was David Cauley live at NRG right here on Sports Radio 610.
A little sick, and our medical team just felt like it would be best for us to, for cautionary reason, just to, you know, keep them home. And then we'll be back business as usual tomorrow.
Have they anybody tested positive?
No COVID positive tests. No.
Thank you.
Brooks, you want?
Yeah, David, you said you were going to meet with Justin Reed on Monday. Have you decided whether he'll start and play on Sunday?
He'll play on Sunday. Everything, we're moving forward. Back to business as usual.
And how did that meeting go, and how do you feel that'll be?
It wasn't a meeting. We just said we're back business as usual. We're ready to go. He served his time, and we're moving on.
Aaron Wilson.
Hey, David, when you look at the Colts and their running game, how tough is it to get Taylor stopped? And when you think about everything that he does his back, what makes him so difficult to slow down?
Well, I tell you what, it's very important when you're playing him. Obviously, we saw a stat this morning that when he rushes for 100 yards this year, they've won every game. When he hasn't rushed for 100 yards, they've lost. So obviously, it's very important for our defense to have gap control, especially run gap control, stay in our gaps more so than any time this year. Not that it's not as important as always, but obviously, this guy is playing very well right now. Their offense is playing very well. They're running the ball very well. Carson's doing very well. At the quarterback position, he's having a great year, and you know, they're doing a very good job right now.
Christy.
David, what do you think will be the key to getting your offense to be more consistent in this, like, after the struggles you had in the second half? I know you talked about not getting behind on the sticks, but how are you going to be able to do that, you think?
Well, just better execution. We had some situations in the game where we got behind the sticks because of a miss here, a miss there. We've just got to be more consistent. And if we are, just like we were in the first half, we'll be okay. But we've got to make sure that starting the second half that we are getting to that good start, and that we're all not having those mental lapses that we've been having to cause some of those things to happen.
Aaron Reese.
Hey, David, early in the season, you said that using three tight ends was you guys' kind of best personnel grouping, but you really haven't used it much in recent weeks. What's changed in that regard?
Well, because, again, after we're coming out of the bye week, we felt like the way we needed to go was to go in a direction that we're going right now, and I think it's worked better for us. And then having Brevin in there right now, it changes things a little bit, gives us a little bit more versatility in the pass game, and so we've just kind of moved in that direction.
Randy.
Morning, David.
Good morning.
Indianapolis defense, Colts defense, if you can talk a little bit about what they bring. I think 13 straight games with a takeaway, and they've got big-time playmakers, as you and I discussed the other day. A little bit about what you're seeing from their side and what they're going to bring.
They're leading the league right now in takeaways. Not only that, their linebacker – is leading the league in fumbles, causing fumbles. So they've been playing very, very good team defense. The way you want to play team defense. They're playing 11-on-11 defense all the time. They're not giving up a bunch of big plays. They're playing consistently all over the field. And it's a tough duty. And when you're playing teams like that, you got to do things the right way. And you got to make sure you take care of the ball more so, because this team right here, whether it's causing a fumble or getting a takeaway in the pass game, they've been as good as anybody in the league this year. As a matter of fact, they're the best in the league right now at doing that.
John, did you have another one?
Yep, I do. David, on that Indianapolis game, y'all got burned twice on long touchdown passes, and it hasn't happened since. What has been the difference where you've been able to?
Well, the big thing, John, is making sure that you're deeper than the deepest. We've had a couple of times early in the year where when that happened is we were kind of seeing things and trying to make plays outside of the framework of what we need to be doing in the defense. And I think we've gotten much better at that now. And that's why you're seeing those things eliminated. And usually when you see one happen like that, it usually happens simply because somebody's got his eyes in the wrong place instead of playing the defense the way it should be played. And when you do that, people take advantage of that. And we've been very fortunate to not give up those kind of things lately. And hopefully to continue that.
Aaron Wilson.
Hey, David, when you think about what you guys have been able to do with creating turnovers, what do you feel like that's something that they can come in bunches when you see guys, they start to, pick off passes like Taviar getting his first one? And is that something that you guys feel like you could build on?
Well, I think the reason he were able to get that interception is because defensively at that point, our defense was playing, as I've mentioned, that what the coach has been doing. They play 11-on-11 defense. Guys are in the right spot. Quarterback thought he could get the ball in there. Guy tipped the ball. Taviar is right there where he should be. Makes a play. And that's what happens. That's how they come. They come when you're playing team defense. You don't, they're created by you doing what you should be doing defensively and being in your position and doing your job. And when a quarterback makes a mistake, and especially when you're in zone coverage the way we have been a bunch, then those things happen.
We will take two or three more. Brooks, go ahead.
David, how unique is Titus Howard's ability to compartmentalize multiple positions? And with the way he thinks, how have you seen that play out as a player and also as a person behind the scenes?
Well, Brooks, first of all, he's got really, really good football instincts. And here's the thing I remember that I keep forgetting this. The guy was a quarterback in high school. Nobody would ever think that, but he was a quarterback in high school and obviously outgrew that. But he's got very good football knowledge. He loves to play. He knows all those spots, and he's very fortunate that he has the physical skills to be able to go inside and go outside because of that.
John.
David, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor earlier. He's got a lot of long runs, and of course he had a real long one against you guys after he's shutting down in the first half. When you see a back consistently making long runs, is it mostly because of him? Is it bad defense? Or how much of a role does his offensive line play to free him up?
Well, the offensive line has a lot to do with that. You speaking of the long runs, obviously he had one against us. He had one last week against Tampa Bay. I think it was 78 yards or something like that. And basically they blocked the play very well. And they had some guys in the secondary that obviously because they have been running the ball very well, they had guys up at the line of scrimmage. They blocked it very well. They had a guy out of a gap, which we talked about. You got to have gap security. When you don't, guys like that will end up making you pay. And he's done a really, really good job of that. That's why it's so important, John, for us to play gap control, just be consistent in what we're doing, and then make them go the long way and not to give up those big plays. But when you do, though, when you get out of your gap against this guy and against this team with the way they run the football, those things will happen.
Okay, thank you, Coach.
You're welcome.
All right, there we go, David Coley. So the big news, Justin Reed will play on Sunday. Said that he, quote, served his time and things are back to normal. Practice also canceled. Guys under the weather said there's no COVID positives, just some guys under the weather. And he used the word gap control a lot when talking about stopping the best running back in the NFL currently with Derrick Henry injured, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, one of his favorite expressions when he's talking about the defense is the whole the gap control, to have gap control. I thought the question about Justin Reed, you know, obviously just said move on, nothing to see here. The players available were, one of them was not Justin Reed. So we still haven't heard from Justin Reed to get any of that side of
the
story.
He usually speaks on Wednesdays, too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure that part of the, whatever, you want to call it, an agreement or the discussion was, let's just agree to move on from this and not air any public laundry. But I don't think we'll ever really know what happened. You know, rule, standard, whatever. But clearly a disagreement with Justin Reed. My thing with Justin Reed is we were leaning this way heavily anyway. But there's no way they're going to offer him another contract or he's going to come back here.
I mean, there's no way he wants to.
No way. Yeah,
I mean, if he wanted to, he wouldn't have spoken to Mark Berman and Ryan Clark wouldn't have put out what he put out.
Right. No, there's no way he's going to be a Texan. And so why does that affect us? Because, you know, I know, you know, you want to stay as far under the cap as you can. But Justin Reed is kind of a value player. You know, still very young. He's not going to break the bank, but he's going to get a good, healthy contract with his second contract. He's good. And maybe could be real good for a team that's developing. You know, this one thing notwithstanding, nothing is ever said bad about the guy, on the field or off. But he's gone. I mean, he's not going to be a part of the rebuild at all.
No, they're going to be looking at safeties. I mean, if you add, I mean, I know John Harris is starting to talk more and more about the draft. Like, it's damn near impossible for me to list the three biggest needs right now. I mean, you want to talk about a difficult task, and you want to talk about having to put a lot of thought into something.
Yeah.
John Harris, all these draft experts, like, they're going to have to, when they list the Texans' biggest needs,
answer is yes.
Yes, that's it.
It really is.
No, they're really, like, they could use everything. Like, when you hear, a lot of times you hear the cliche, best player available, and you kind of roll your eyes because you need this. There's a few needs there. Like, John Harris, when he lists, and I'm intrigued to see, like, what the biggest need is, tell me what they don't need.
Right.
They need everything.
Usually when you hear best player available, as you mentioned, I always end it with best player available for what they need. Because that's usually how the draft plays out. They'll say best player available, but let's say they need a tackle, a safety, and a wide receiver. It's just, what a coincidence, the best player available is going to be one of those positions. But for the Texans, no. And that leads to something else. You know, not having Justin Reed next year, well, there's another position of huge need. At least, you know, at the safety position, you had one dude there, you know, that you could ride. I get that, you know, they're getting a little better play out of Eric Murray and all that, but still, that just leads to another draft pick you're going to have to use on a safety. At some point, you're going to have to.
You're going to have to. I mean, I don't even know, like, what you're hanging your hat on right now, heading into next season. I don't know, like.
Well,
I could see Brandon Cooks maybe being.
Let's go through. Let's play a little game real quick.
Go ahead.
Do you need a quarterback?
Yes.
Running back?
Yes.
Wide receiver?
Three, by the way. Three running.
Wide receiver?
Yes.
Tight end.
I mean, I guess you could use one, but I like Brevin Jordan.
I like Brevin Jordan. What's the situation?
But I mean, Farrell Brown and Akins are going to be free agents. So depending on how you handle that.
The answer is yes. Tackle.
Yes.
Guard.
Oh, yes.
Center.
Maybe. I don't know if they want to bring Britt back or not.
Maybe. Outside rush end on defense.
Yes.
Inside tackles on defense.
Yes.
Outside linebackers.
Yes.
Inside linebackers.
Yes.
Safeties.
Yes.
Cornerbacks.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, you need everything. It's not an exaggeration. You need everything.
You need everything.
I would love for...
I need a kicker.
I want to ask... Yeah, Fairbairn's probably gone after this year. Yeah. So you need everything.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be there. And then
Cameron Johnston is set. There. That's what you don't need. You don't need a punter.
You don't need a punter. And then you have 3 months from now, I guess, the new league year starts. So then you start to wonder, you know, with the Deshaun Watson depositions beginning from his
side. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Side, what's going to happen there? And are you going to have a lot of draft equity? It'll be very, very interesting. Right now, if the draft began today, the Texans would have the number 2 overall pick,
mm-hmm.
Which means, assuming that the top prospects are willing to come here, which I think is something to keep an eye on, Friday you have Oregon, so you can get a look at Kayvon Thibodeau, and then you're going to have Aiden Hutchinson of Michigan. is going to be a very, very popular name to come up as well. They're playing on Saturday night. So it's going to be an interesting time, interesting weekend for Nick Caserio and company. Got to think some scouts are going to be making some trips this week, because it could be your last look at them in person, because I don't know if these guys are going to opt out or not. I don't think Thibodeau plays in Oregon's bowl game. I think Hutchinson's playing in the college football playoff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So there is that. But it'll be something interesting to keep an eye on. Speaking of which, John Lopez, Landry Locker, Jim Mudd in for Figgy Fig. The transfer portal. Players are moving all over the place. A lot of people upset about it. But I think it's one of the best things to happen to sports in a long, long time. We're here with the OG has to say about that. A few days away from one of the biggest days in college football and a big day for Texans fans. In the Loop continues on Hump Day next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Saturday, Championship Saturday, college football. This is a special one for the Houston Texans. Jim Mudd, by the way, in for Figgy Fig. Figgy had issues with his wisdom teeth.
Dude,
I believe.
I feel bad for him. Wisdom teeth out by a dentist? That hurts. I can tell you that. You do. You too, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal for me.
All respect for dentists, but I'd rather have an oral surgeon do it.
I don't know.
Especially after the fact.
Jim, you got yours out.
Oh, yeah. You always have to go oral. Always.
Yeah. Oral is the way to go for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
If they're not going oral, then, you know, it might, it's not as efficient. Not as good.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You a fan of oral?
Doesn't hurt as much.
When did they even have that when you were?
What did you say off air, Jim?
Well, you said you went to a dentist. I said, well, yeah, back then there were also barbers.
He's not that much younger than me.
I'm not. 20 years, maybe.
Nope.
7, 8, I don't know.
That's a great line, though. I can laugh at that. I can laugh at that.
The weekend.
Doc Holliday.
And they would shoe your horse.
Figgy likes to give that play-by-play of his medical stuff.
Yeah,
it's interesting. He's supposedly hungry. He ate mashed potatoes. He can't eat what he likes.
Yeah,
I recommend go to Popeyes, get some mac and cheese.
I bet he looks like Thumper right now with those mouth swollen.
Yeah, get some mac and cheese. Get some red beans and rice. Mm-hmm. Figure it out, Figgy. Figure it out.
He's listening.
You're good, Figgy. Yeah. Shout out to Figgy. Yeah, shout out to whoever got Figgy's wisdom teeth out. Friday, Kayvon Thibodeau, Oregon versus Utah. You get a look at him if you're a Texans fan. Then Championship Saturday, Ohio State, pick a player. I mean, there's going to be potential Texans all over there. They got one of the best receiving cores that we've seen in a long time, and it's similar to what Alabama had last year when they had Waddle. They had Devontae Smith. Georgia versus Alabama, take your pick. There's probably about 20 guys that could be potential Texans there. U of H, one of the most versatile guys in all of college football, believe that, against Cincinnati. And then you have Aiden Hutchinson in Michigan versus Iowa. So from a Texans perspective, you can make a case that the more meaningful football to keep an eye on is going to be Saturday instead of Sunday, because they're going to lose to the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the guys that you're going to see on the field with the Texans, you're not going to see next year. when it comes to getting things where you want them to be, Saturday is more significant for Texans fans.
For sure, right? You just laid it out, and I think, you know, all these guys, we mentioned, you know, they need players everywhere, but they're going to have at least the number two or three pick, maybe the number one pick. So, you're talking about an absolute rebuild finally starting. If you get a number two or number three, maybe number one overall pick, there's your glimmer of hope. I've often said, and I still believe this, the problem with this team that's so depressing is there's no hope. There is no hope with this Texans team. And I'm not even talking about Jack Easterby. That's a whole separate topic. I'm talking about on the field. Like, where do you think, like, okay, all right, you know, maybe, you know, that guy in a couple of years with another couple of draft picks, when they finally get that guy, whether it's any of the ones you mentioned or someone else, you're at least going to have, you know, some cornerstone piece, at least the start of it. Yeah. And presumably some other picks in the first round as well if this Deshaun Watson thing happens.
Yeah, you got Marcus Jones and the Cougs, Georgia, Alabama, everyone, again. And then you have Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan, Kayvon Thibodeau on Friday. So
Derek Stingley Jr. is out there.
That's something to keep an eye on. Yeah. Keep an eye on everything because that is going to be – some of these guys are going to be future Texans. There's a chance that you will see more potential starters for the 2021 Houston Texans Friday and Saturday – 2022 Texans than you will on Sunday.
Great point.
Very, very strong chance.
Yeah.
So just keep an eye on that. It's going to be a good weekend in college
football. How about if you're the Jets right now? You currently have the number 4 and 5 pick.
It's got to feel good.
That's got to feel real good.
Thank you, Jamal Adams. Thank you, Seattle Seahawks. What do you make of the transfer portal? Players are entering the transfer portal. I wanted to get into this a little bit because it seems like, you know, with coaches fleeing and now players entering the transfer portal, it seems like there's a lot of hot takes on, you know, the state of college football. I think the transfer portal is one of the best things to happen to sports in a long time. I truly think it is because I think it allows kids to use their abilities and find the best situation possible. I think it holds coaches accountable. I've seen some guys on this school that I root for leaving, and you know what? Good. If the coach is not satisfying the players and if he's not providing them with the situation that they thought we're coming into, I think it holds coaches accountable. I think it kind of evens the playing field for coaches being able to go. And I just think it's good for the kids. I think it's great for the game. And I think it's exciting, and it adds more drama, intrigue, et cetera.
What are coaches doing? And I'm not even talking about the Brian Kellys and Lincoln Rileys of the world that go out there for 100 and whatever million dollars. That, you know, but even lower-level assistant coaches that get an opportunity to be a coordinator, or coordinators that get an opportunity to be a head coach somewhere. They're chasing an opportunity. But what they're leaving in their wake are players who had their, you know, promises broken. You know, when nobody ever recruits a player and says, "Yeah, I might be gone in a year."
Yeah,
nobody ever.
Right.
You know, they talk about, you know, we're building this and we're gonna become this and that. Actually, J.J. Watt had a great or someone retweeted a former story about J.J. Watt from when he was at Central Michigan, and I believe Brian Kelly was there, and was talking about how we want to be the next Boise State. The recruiting. This is J.J. Watt. I'm paraphrasing, but he said this. You know, how he was told we want to be the next Boise State. We're doing stuff. This is our plan. Laid out everything and said, you know, I'm in. You know, and obviously J.J. Watt started his career at Central Michigan. The next day, Kelly was gone.
Yeah.
So what would that be? Where would J.J. Watt be? Let's just use an example. If he just – there was no transfer portal.
There wasn't a transfer portal.
I know. I'm saying if there was no opportunity for him to transfer – and it was still difficult back then. Where would he be? I mean,
he ended up all right.
He ended up all right.
Because that was pre-transfer portal.
I know. But what I'm saying is a lot of guys were the odds were against you, or it was tough to transfer. You were called a quitter and all this other stuff, and you had to sit out a year. So a lot of guys didn't want to do it. Now that you have the transfer portal, it's like, dude, I'm going to do the same thing you're doing. I'm chasing an opportunity just like you did. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, these kids, like, and they are kids. And I know that they're getting the NIL money, but this is the first time that you leave home. Mm-hmm. And you have an extra amount of pressure, not just leaving home. Like, you have an extra amount of pressure on you.
sometimes the situation isn't what you thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to find your opportunity. Your skills allow you to do it. And I get that there's like a certain portion, or you make a commitment, you got to stay. Okay, that's fine. Like, and a lot of guys do. But if these kids want to find their own situation, if they want to hold the coaches accountable, if they want to figure it out, if it adds to the intrigue, because you're not just relying on your recruiting class. Like if you're a school that doesn't have the resources to offer a recruit, but you have a situation that is favorable to a player who might not have fit in well with another school, then I think it's great. I think it's great. I think it adds to it. I think the transfer portal honestly is like one of the best changes that's been made in sports in a long, long time. I can't even think of anything else in the conversation.
NIL.
NIL's good too. I mean, yeah. And I think it all goes to the same mix. But the transfer portal to me is a lovely thing.
And there's success stories very recently that you can see. You know, obviously Kyler Murray and others that have just taken advantage and moved on. I don't even know if the portal was that active, but he did transfer.
I think he had to sit out a year.
He might have, but that was always a deterrent.
Yeah,
and that's my bigger point. Now there's not that deterrent. You can just go on and do your thing.
He might have been portal. I don't know, but again, he transferred and mm-hmm. it worked out for him. And now it's easier to do that. It's not a process. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, David Culley says Justin Reed will be playing. Texans taking on the Colts Sunday. No practice today because a lot of players under the weather, not COVID.
One more thing since we're on college football. And I'm glad I didn't jump to any conclusions or tweet anything stupid when I saw this. You saw, you know, Brian Kelly has been getting criticized badly the last couple of days. Like some of the way, and he doesn't seem like a really cool dude.
Yeah, he seems like kind of a little bit stiff.
He seems like kind of a jerk, to be honest. But I'm glad I didn't jump on this because people are saying, well, his parting words to his former team was like 2 minutes and he didn't take questions and people were just torching him. How can you do that? I actually heard the speech. Have you heard it?
Yes.
It's 4 minutes.
Yes.
And it was really good.
Yes.
It was really, really good. He was emotional. He let them know how much he appreciated them. What do you want?
Well, you want like a Q&A?
Yeah. What do you want?
Like he can talk to these players. I'm sure they have his number. People are just ready to pounce on Brian Kelly.
Yes.
And there's a lot of straw man arguments like, You criticize a player, and then Brian, like, I'm not hearing that. I'm not hearing these connections.
It was 4 minutes, not two, and it was really, really good. I think he's probably a jerk.
Yeah.
But set that aside. Don't criticize this thing right here.
Yeah.
He did fine.
Yeah, I think he was fine. I mean, it's hard to go. 713-572-4610 to get in. Rick, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Terrific.
Hey, listen, real quick. I just want to make a preference on a couple things, like, for you guys is – how you guys interview.
Thanks so much, Rick. I can't wait for this. Journalism class with Rick. Go ahead, man.
When you guys interview Coley and these guys, I wish you guys would be a little and put him to the fire a little bit more. Ask the question instead of going, hey, what do you think about David Tunsil? How's he doing from guard to tackle? Ask him why he sucks so much, why the team sucks so much. Put him to the fire. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I just wish you guys would maybe –
Who is you guys? I'm on the air during David Culley. I know who you don't let me in with like.
Well, I'm not looping you in there. I'm trying to like you know John. You know it's like you know he's there. It's like man, why doesn't he ask the hard questions? I mean seriously, it's like they give layup questions. Okay. It's like you know how's the running back going to be? Who gives a shit? Excuse my language. I didn't mean to say that, but it's just who gives a crap all anymore?
Right. So. I get his point.
John asked him about Justin Reed. John asks him everything. Let me just say this, John. You can speak to this better than me. Do you honestly think that anyone in the history of the media has ever gone up to a coach and said, why does this thing suck?
Right, and that's kind of what I was going to say. I think you can ask really tough questions, and you know, I think we all have had those moments where we're asking tough questions that are very direct. But I get his point. Sometimes you have to have that kind of soft shoe around, you know, step softly around certain topics because, and maybe this is on us because you know what the answer is going to be.
Ain't on me.
Yeah.
I'm not in that press conference. Yeah. Not on me.
Yeah. But I think we've all asked the tough questions.
Generalize me into that.
Part of it is you hear the same answers no matter the question that you think the questions are. Or being layups, and that's not always the case. I thought John had a really good. In fact, when we were listening to
Justin Reed,
I
think Brooks Cabana questioned him about being able to run and stuff. I think Brooks, John McClain, do a very good job.
Yeah, Yeah. No, I get it. It gets frustrating for us, too. It's frustrating for us, too.
But I ain't in there.
Yeah.
You ain't in there.
You've heard me ask some tough questions.
Yes, it has happened. It does happen.
Yes, it does.
Coming up, an MVP puts us American softies in check. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Brought to you by workformetro.org. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
An MVP puts us American softies in check. You'll hear it in a second right here on the hits on Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio, he spoke on the Justin Reed benching. Got to give him some credit. He's available every week. Mm-hmm. It was on HoustonTexans.com. This was Nick Caserio on Justin Reed getting sent to timeout last Sunday.
Yeah, I think we've been consistent from the beginning of the year. You know, any situation that we have with a player that comes up, you know, we always address it directly. Coach Cully had a conversation with Justin before the game, informed him of the decision, and we move forward. Everybody was back in the building here yesterday, so we'll take it 1 week at a time. So, you know, again, I think Coach handled it. Coach addressed it. I don't really have anything to add. You know, I think any conversations that we have, you know, with a player about whatever the situation is, we always keep it between ourselves and the player. You know, it's not something that, you know, we're going to discuss publicly.
David Coley said that the time was served with Justin Reed. He used the term, he served his time, business as usual, said Justin Reed will be on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, respect for Nick Caserio to be out there and you know, address these things. Didn't really give a lot of, there wasn't a lot of meat on that bone, you know, so to speak. He didn't really say a lot, but at least he, you know, at least he addressed it, kept it in house. We will never know, respect to John McClain, but we will never know exactly what happened because there are two very, very contrasting versions of what happened. One was broken rules / standard, and then what you know, what you want to believe from Ryan Clark, that it was a disagreement and that Berman, and then Justin Reed told Berman that he was shocked that he got the suspension. We'll never really know.
Davis Mills, he hasn't played the last three games. Could I interest you in some statistics?
Yes, you can.
Tyrod Taylor, since his return, 55 for 93. That's 59% passing. Tom Savage, by the way, was 57.5% in 2017, just to give you a little bit of a grasp of that. 168 yards per game passing, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Hasn't been very good.
Right.
I know he did run in the 2 touchdowns, but Tyrod Taylor has not been very good. He's thrown the ball probably worse than Davis Mills did when Davis Mills was playing. Nick Caserio was asked about the improvements that he's seen from young guys and what he likes to see. And you started wondering if maybe we're going to see some Davis Mills.
Oh, I got an opinion on this.
Sooner rather than later. Here was Nick Caserio on the improvements of the rookies on this team heading into the final stretch of the season.
With any young player, you look at the totality of where did they start. Okay, where are they currently? Understanding that they have probably as long a runway as anybody in front of them. So, and I would even include Davis as well. From where they started to where they are now, they've all made improvements. They've all made progress. I'd say they're in better condition. They've actually gotten stronger, so you're able to see their strength, their explosiveness, their power, the things that they're doing in the weight room have actually all improved. Their practice performance has been better and more consistent, and that's translated over into some cases into tangible production on Sunday. Some, maybe it takes a year, and maybe you see more improvement in the second year as opposed to, you know, in the first year. Really, that's what you want to see with young players and you want to see as your team is just improvement from where they start to where they are now, and you want to continue that arc of improvement all the way through the duration of the end of the year. If we continually focus on improvement, the results will take care of itself. Yeah. We can't get too caught up in that, but you want to see your team make progress and see tangible improvements, and certainly some players have done that more so than others.
All right, this just jumped off the page, figuratively speaking, when I heard this. We're listening to Nick Caserio when he was on HoustonTexans.com, and I'm thinking, I brought this up with John McClain briefly, but I think it warrants a lot more of a discussion because here's some of the kind of bullet points of what he just said. So rookies, you know, it's a progression of where they started and where they are now. And he's been very impressed with the rookies. And he even mentioned unsolicited Davis Mills, right?
Yeah.
He said included Davis Mills. He also talked about translating that into tangible production on Sunday. He also said that he wanted to continue that to the end of the year. All right? So they're where they started, where they are now, including Davis Mills. He's impressed. The production on Sunday and continuing it to the end of the year. Why is that only applying to really three rookies and the three most productive rookies by far, Nico Collins, Roy Lopez, and Brevin Jordan? And why is Davis Mills still on the bench? I'm here to tell you, Landry, I think this should absolutely positively be Tyrod Taylor's last start. If this is your philosophy.
Well, and look how bad he's been. He hadn't been good.
Exactly. But not only that, I mean, but if this is your philosophy, they know. Forget the nice things you say publicly because you want to sell some tickets and you want some fans to have some excitement. They know they're not going anywhere. They currently have the number two pick in the draft. They have done Tyrod Taylor a solid. They gave him the job. He got hurt. They gave it to him when he came back. Enough already. Enough already. You got what? How many games after this week? Four? I mean, enough. If your philosophy, and he just said it, you just heard him say it, is rookies through the year, they're getting better, including Davis Mills. Why are Nico Collins, Roy Lopez, and Brevin Jordan getting more reps, more starts, more time on the field, and Davis Mills is not? Have they already decided he ain't the guy? Or if they haven't, what are you waiting for?
I think they had to do like the Tyrod didn't lose his job type
they
of
did it, but okay,
stuff.
Good deal. Good for you. You did it. You're going to be 2-10, you know. So why are you going to keep starting Tyrod Taylor?
Well, the thing that I think is, and I think this was the fear from a lot of people, not a lot, but people who are worried about draft stock, was that you put Tyrod Taylor out there, all of a sudden you're winning games, and oh no, you're dim. I'm not even sure that that's the case. Like, I'm not even sure that Tyrod Taylor gives you the best chance to win.
Yeah.
Seriously, I think Davis Mills, if they would have used Davis Mills against the Patriots like they did everyone else, and maybe there was just a little something extra personal for Nick Caserio and the rest of the guys when it came to the way they attacked the Patriots. Mm-hmm. But if they just freed Davis Mills and let the flea flicker on third down and the fourth down and ones and all that type of stuff instead of punting on fourth and two, like, I feel like Davis Mills actually showed he might have had more success against the Patriots than anybody. If they did that, I'm not so sure that Tyrod Taylor is that much better than Davis Mills at this point.
And you're right. But again, let's just go by his own words there and what he's doing with the other rookies. He talked about the improvement. My personal opinion, just from what I've seen so far, I think Davis Mills is going to be at best a serviceable backup, a Colt McCoy type, for about 6 or 8 years. That's just my
hell
opinion.
Hell of a career.
That's just my opinion.
And it's been over 10, sir.
I'm just saying Davis Mills. You know, about 6 or 8 years, you know, decent backup. He'll be around. Maybe a couple spot starts when the starter gets injured. But I don't know that, and they don't know that. And so let me ask you this. Let's go back to training camp and specifically that Saturday night scrimmage where Davis Mills put on maybe probably the worst performance I've ever seen from a Houston Texans quarterback. Let's go back to that night. You were there.
Yeah, I was.
That's when you were talking about how Pep Hamilton's kid was better than
Jeff Driscoll. And Davis Mills.
Yes. That was one of the worst performances, if not the worst performance I've ever seen.
Yes.
I'm not saying he's become
Joe Montana.
Yeah. But where is Davis Mills when he last started compared to that night?
He's better.
A lot better.
Better, and they just punted on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what he was supposed to do. Maybe Tyrod Taylor's like a sacrificial lamb. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure. Like, the line of thinking when it comes to Tyrod Taylor being the starter, I'm not so sure that he's better than Davis Mills right now. I think if you use Davis Mills like you did against the Patriots, I think Davis Mills might actually be better than Tyrod Taylor. And I also think that at this point, you've given Tyrod Taylor his chance. You gave him his job back. He's not doing a damn thing.
You're going to find out about the rookies. Find out about the rookies.
Again, 1.5% better than Tom Savage was in 2017 is what Tyrod Taylor's been the last three games. Two touchdowns, four interceptions. Not great. Speaking of the Patriots, Danny Amendola, the former Patriot, you got to think there's a strong chance he's probably played his last game as a Houston Texan. He's going to miss a minimum of 4 weeks after suffering a knee injury Sunday against the Jets. He had a procedure. They say minor procedure. Minor D's nuts. You're not the one getting your leg cut on. Okay, I hate when they say it's minor. Nothing minor
scoped
about a procedure. Danny Amendola
I don't think he plays again for the Houston Texans. No, I think he's probably done for the year. Unless they bring him back next year.
He gave up a little scope procedure for $1.7 million this year, you know, getting back on the football field.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for Danny. Astros, they tendered the contracts of Aledmys Diaz, Josh James, Phil Resting Bitchface Matone, Rafael Montero, Ryan Stanek, Framber Valdez, and they also outrighted Andre Scrub to AAA Sugarland. So the Astros are bringing a lot of their roster back. But what about Carlos Correa? James Click yesterday asked by Chandler Rome about Carlos Correa and his status. Right now it looks like you got the Yankees and the Dodgers in need of a shortstop. Not the two teams that you want in need of a shortstop when it comes to big money. But this was James Click being asked about Carlos Correa.
How would you characterize you guys' conversations with Carlos Correa right now? Are you guys still in contact, and do you still consider him a priority in making a reunion with him this offseason?
We're not focused on that right now. Right now, today is about Hector. We're excited to have Hector as part of the team. We'll address that at the appropriate time.
All right, there we go. Not interested. Move on. It's supposed to be a labor stoppage tomorrow in baseball,
yeah, there
by
is.
The way. Whatever.
There certainly is.
Whatever. Wake me up whenever the players get back. Labor stoppage talk is so boring to me.
Until there's a strike or a whole lockout.
I don't even care if there's a strike. Just
tell
me when they're
playing. What are you doing on Sundays then?
Just tell me when they're playing. NFL's fine. Right. They get the job done. Their owners run bleep.
No, they do.
Not that weak ass baseball stuff where the players
agents run
control everything.
The entire league.
Lord, they run it. Yeah. RG3. He's releasing a book. It is called Surviving Washington. He's going to go in detail about what happened during his time in Washington. Here is the pride of Copper's Cove, the pride of Baylor, RG3, talking about the release of his book.
What's up, guys? I'm so excited to announce that I wrote a book, and it's coming out in August 2022.
This is my man's right here. Are you supposed to sound that excited when you're putting out a book about sexual assault and all that type
of
stuff?
Well, it's not only about that.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. You could have at least faked a somber tone.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
What's up, guys? I'm so excited to announce that I wrote a book, and it's coming out in August 2022, titled Surviving Washington. Now, every experience that I've ever had has made me a better husband, a better father, and a better player. But I want you to take this journey with me as I walk you through one of the most dysfunctional franchises in all of sports. I'm going to tell you the truth about what happened in that playoff game in 2012 against Seattle. I'm going to detail the medical mismanagement that I received during my time in Washington. I'm going to open your eyes to the sexual harassment that permeated the walls of that building and give you a deep dive into a power struggle between one of the most powerful coaches in all of sports and an owner that many of you want gone. They say the truth will set you free. So here it is, unfiltered. Pre-order now.
All right, couple things. First of all, the tone's a little bit weird for what we're talking about. Second of all, who the hell pre-orders a book 8 months before?
Nine.
Like, what?
August, he said.
What are we doing? Like, who is doing that? I don't even know what I'm going to eat 8 minutes before I pull into a restaurant. Like, who pre-orders a book 9 months in advance? Is there not Amazon? Like, is there not e-books? What are you doing? Who is doing that?
I didn't even pre-order my own books 9 months in advance.
No one did.
I didn't know if they were going to get done.
How much are those on Amazon now, by the way?
They're still up there pretty good.
How much?
They're holding for... Hey, look at the reviews.
$1.33?
Look at the reviews of my books.
All right, let me look at one.
Yeah, you're lying. You're not looking at it. You haven't even touched the screen. I mean, the keyboard.
Cindy Lopez. Nine-month pre-order. What are we doing right now?
9 months. The other part is, I don't know if the details of this book are going to wait 9 months. He just said right there, I'm going to tell you all about the sexual harassment.
Yeah, that's weird.
You think some of these attorneys out there are going to want to say, hey, big fella, we need to... Yeah. We need to get our hands on the details of what you said.
Weird. College football. Bob Stoops going to coach Oklahoma in the bowl game. He stepped down a little earlier than he probably would have liked to for Lincoln Riley. 5 years later, Lincoln Riley leaves OU for USC. Stoops back on the sidelines, back at practice, and he is trying to make the people in Norman feel better.
This job is going to attract the very best in the coaching world, and they're already lined up and calling. This is a real job. This is a great job, a great university with great leadership. All you fans, and again, player parents, everyone, just understand, give it a little bit of time, and you're going to see this is just a little bump in the road. There's not one guy in the history of this program that's bigger than the program. Coach Switzer, myself, or Lincoln Riley. And what I told the players is they are the program. Players throughout these decades, they are OU football, not us as a coach. I'm in the hall, getting in the Hall of Fame because of them. They'll continue to be OU football, championship football, the way we're used to playing it. And I look forward to doing everything that I can here in these next few weeks to help it continue to succeed the way it has.
All right, Stoops is a legend. I think his loyalty is second to none. I think he's the best coach in the history of the Big 12. No disrespect to Bill Snyder. I know he did a lot with a little. But cool, dude. Like,
no, look.
Does he really have to let people know this is a good job?
I think what he was talking to fans. I mean, they have been knocked down a couple pegs. Boy,
their ego is
That's
low.
What I'm saying. Yeah, they have, he was talking to fans there. He was
got the visor and everything, looking good.
Just knocked down a couple. This is damage control.
He scares the bleep out of me, by the way.
He's a hell of a coach, man.
My dad would never let me leave the game early.
Yeah.
At Texas OU. So I endured like some half a hundo ass whoopings and had to stay till the end of the game.
Yeah.
It was painful. Bob Stoops scares the hell out of me. Props to him for his loyalty and props to him for keeping it together. I don't think people know that Oklahoma is a great job. It'll be interesting to see who they hire next. Jokic. Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. He was booed in Miami. He got in a little tussle.
Aww.
And he was
booed
his feelings? In Miami. He put this American reporter so in check and gave you such good perspective of how soft we are here. I don't think – this is one of my favorite sound clips in a long time. He's sitting there looking bored, almost like he's just like, you're one of the softest weasels. He was asked about being booed in Miami, and this is what the Joker had to say.
I play in Serbia, brother. I play in Serbia, so I wish you guys can feel that.
That's so good. I've told you this before. I've been lucky enough to have seen some games internationally.
Played in Serbia, bro.
It is intense.
His brothers are like kickboxers.
It's intense. Like you feel like it could get violent at any moment.
They showed him in Miami afterwards, mm-hmm. and he was with like his brothers who are nut jobs, yeah. who look like guys.
They go to every game too.
Dude, that is a bodyguard right there.
Yeah.
But they were in the club in Miami afterwards partying like bottle service,
mm-hmm.
and they were playing like one of these new songs that the kids listen to, and all of a sudden they just broke out the Serbian national anthem, and Jokic is just like jumping up and down, moving his hands. Brother looking like he wants to fight somebody.
Yep.
I played in Serbia, bro. Wish you could feel that.
I play in Serbia, brother.
Cute booze here in the 305.
It's intense.
Coming up, Frank Reich versus David Culley, Texans versus Colts, and Tyrod Taylor versus Davis Mills. Is Davis Mills about to get the edge? Lunchtime begins next.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.